Hello everybody, it's Paul Martin here at UK Cameraman on Twitter. Give us a follow if you like, or hang around here on Audio Boo to hear some more stories from other people for Audiomo 2012, audio podcasting for the month of November. So, I have another story for you here today. I'm out at work at the moment, so you might hear some passing cars like that one. I'm not going to get home till later, so I thought I would do my podcast, my Audiomo podcast, right now whilst I have a little time and whilst I'm waiting. And I came across a story here from another friend of mine. Now, having both of us served together in the army, I read his posts on another social media site, and he's written something here to do with the 11th of November, which is the Memorial Day here in the United Kingdom and elsewhere for the end of the war, the Great War, the First World War. It's Remembrance Sunday here in the United Kingdom and elsewhere. And here's a story about the unknown warrior and how he became to be the unknown warrior here in England and the United Kingdom. The story starts on September the 7th, 1920, where in the strictest secrecy, four unidentified British bodies of soldiers were exhumed from temporary battle cemeteries at Ypres, Arras, the Assin or the Assiné, I'm not too sure which pronunciation that is, and from the battlefield of the Somme. Now, none of the soldiers who did the digging were told why they were digging up these bodies. But the bodies that they did dig up, the four bodies, were taken by field ambulance to GHQ at Saint-Paul-sur-Ternois. There the bodies were draped with the Union flag, sentries were posted, and Brigadier General Wyatt selected one body at random. It is said that he may have been blindfolded at that point, but he selected a random body of the four. That evening, a French honour guard was selected, who stood by the coffin overnight. And in the morning of the 8th, a specially designed coffin made of oak from the grounds of Hampton Court was brought, and the unknown warrior was placed inside. And on top was placed a crusader's sword from the king's own personal collection and a shield on which was inscribed "A British warrior who fell in the Great War 1914-1918 for king and country." Now, on the 9th of November, the unknown warrior was taken by horse-drawn carriage through guards of honour and the sound of tolling bells and bugles. I believe the last post was played at that point. It was taken to the quayside. It was saluted by Marshal Foch of the French army and was loaded onto HMS Verdun, bound for Dover. The coffin stood on the deck covered in wreaths and surrounded by the French honour guard. On arrival at Dover, the unknown warrior was greeted with a 19-gun salute, which is normally only reserved for the deaths of field marshals. The body then travelled by special train to Victoria Station in London, where it stayed overnight. And on the morning of the 11th of November, that special day, he was taken to Westminster Abbey, where it was interred. Now, the idea of the unknown soldier was thought of by a padre called David Railton, who had served in the front during the Great War, and it was the Union flag that he used as an altar cloth at the front that had been draped over the coffin. The intention of all of this was that all relatives of the some 517,773 combatants whose bodies had not been identified could believe that the unknown warrior buried there could well be their lost husband, father, brother or son. So they all had a chance that it was theirs. And the British public took to this in great numbers. They absolutely loved it. It was a fantastic idea of the time. And it wasn't so much copied, but the idea was taken up by the Americans, the French, the Australians, the New Zealanders, who all returned one of their own soldiers of the Great War home and buried them with full military honours. Another part of this, the Americans conferred upon the British unknown warrior the Medal of Honour, and in return their unknown warrior, or the unknown soldier as I believe it is in the United States, was awarded the Victoria Cross, both of which are the highest medals that can be won for bravery by those two countries. So there you go, that is the British unknown warrior who will be remembered again on the 11th of November. It's only just a few days away. I normally do my own thing on that particular day. I've got my own people who I like to remember, because not only do we remember those of the First World War, we remember those of the Second World War and any other British soldier who has given their life in the service of this great nation. And being an ex-soldier, I do take it quite seriously. So thanks to James Taylor Hodge, my mate in arms. We both served together in the British Army in various places around the world. And that is the story of the unknown warrior. Thanks for listening. And I will speak to you again tomorrow.